tefillahs in Rosh Hashanah, perhaps on a different level than the tefillahs for the rest of the year, not only in terms of machshava, but in terms of halacha as well. There is a famous machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban as to what exactly the mitzvah of tefillah on the level of deraisa is. So the Rambam has this famous sheet in the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah. The Rambam writes, every person, man and woman, are obligated to daven min haTorah each and every day. The Gemara Maseches Tainis records, what is an expression of avodah shebelev? Avodah is usually avodah sakarbanos. Karbanos is not avodah shebelev, it's avodah biyadayim. What's an example of an avodah shebelev? What's a zoi tefillah? The Gemara says that lo avodah shebelev refers to the mitzvah specifically of tefillah. So the Rambam understood that what the Gemara is telling us is there's mam shechiv gomim min haTorah to daven each and every day. Where does it say in the Chumash each and every day? It just says all the b'chol avachim. So the Rambam apparently understood that when the Torah gives us a chiyuv and doesn't delineate how often the chiyuv is, so it's understood that it's once daily. If the Torah says be'erev toch l'matzos, but it tells you when to eat matzos, it says only on Pesach night. So there's no mitzvah to eat matzos the rest of the year. It says yom truy el lechem. Doesn't mean every day has to be a day of blowing. It says explicitly on chodesh hashvi b'yachad l'chodesh. But when the Torah doesn't say one way or the other, so then it's understood, self-explanatory, that it means once every day. That's what the Rambam says. Lo avodah b'chol avachem means you have to daven each and every day. So the Ramban takes issue with the Rambam. The Ramban writes in Sefer Mitzvahs, and many places Chazal speak about tefillah being midrabbanan. So the Ramban says that the entire chiyuv of tefillah is taf only a mitzvah midrabbanan. So what does lo avodah b'chol avachem mean? So the Ramban gives you other explanations what he thinks lo avodah b'chol avachem mean. Maybe that drush and zot tefillah is only an asmachta. Maybe what the pasuk really means is that you're supposed to concentrate when you do avodas Hashem. Lo avodah b'chol avachem. You're supposed to do mitzvahs with a proper kavanah. Supposed to be focusing and paying attention when you do mitzvahs. Lo avodah b'chol avachem doesn't really mean zot tefillah. Then at the very, very end of the Hasug, when the Ramban takes issue with this Rambam, so the Ramban writes that maybe there is a mitzvah tefillah min haora, but it's not a daily chiv. It's a chiyuv be'eis tzara. When you have a very, very big need, it's a tremendous stress, time with distress, then tefillah becomes elevated to become a deraisa. How did the Ramban know that? That's the parasha of Chatzotzros, because the Torah describes that you blow Chatzotzros at a time of milchama, because you blow milchama b'yaretzchem, atzara tzoretzchem, you blow up b'shas milchama, you blow al atzara tzoretzchem, rabbis kol atzoros, anytime there's a rav, there's other things, so there's a mitzvah in our Torah to blow Chatzotzros. Poskim discuss why we don't blow Chatzotzros this moment. Some say the Chatzotzros only applies in Eretz Yisrael, because you blow milchama b'yaretzchem. So others ask, but there are tzaros in Eretz Yisrael. Sometimes when Muhammad says, nobody blows chatzaitzus. So when Moshe writes in the tshuva that there are two parts in the mitzvah of chatzaitzus. There's tkiyas chatzaitzus b'shas tzatzara, and there's tkiyas chatzaitzus b'shas hamikdash, b'shas karbanos. So I would have thought they're two different mitzvahs. Just because you're adhering to one, you don't do the other. So Moshe thinks, no, the ikar chatzaitzus are for the purposes of vadesat karbanos. And then as an afterthought, if you look carefully at the Torah, as an afterthought, also, by the way, you also blow b'shas b'chama. You don't make chatzotzos for shas b'chama. You only make chatzotzos for mikdash, and if and when you have chatzotzos for the mikdash, then you use them b'shas b'chama. That's what Moshe writes. We've done as a never can ever base a mikdash. So just stamp to blow chatzotzos, even in Eretz Yisrael, even b'shas b'chama wouldn't be a mitzvah. That's what the minhag seems to be like. Moshe, we usually don't blow chatzotzos, even b'zman hazeh, although with movements, different times in Eretz Yisrael, sometimes b'shas b'chama, so people want to make chatzotzos and blow chatzotzos, but generally we haven't accepted that view. So the Ramban writes that when the Torah describes the blow chatzotzos, so blowing chatzotzos is not just stamp blowing chatzotzos. Blowing chatzotzos is a method of tefillah. The blowing of chatzotzos accompanies a tefillah. So the Ramban says, you see that the Torah wants us to turn heavenward. The Torah wants us to turn to Ribbono Shel Olam, b'shas milchama, b'shas tzara. So just as we're expected to turn to Ribbono Shel Olam with blowing chatzotzos, we're expected to daven as well. Tefillah and chatzotzos go hand in hand. So that's the case. Anytime you have a shas tzara, anytime you have a potential shas tzara, so that becomes, you become bound in a chiv of tefillah min haTorah. So unlike the Rambam who says the tefillah every day is deraisa, the Ramban says tefillah once in a blue moon, and shas milchama, shas tzara is a deraisa. L'chora Rosh Hashanah definitely qualifies as a shas tzara because sifrei chayv and sifrei meisim suchim lefanav. Padach b'shas milchama, so that's called the shas tzara, that's called an eis tefillah. So kavachaymer and Rosh Hashanah yom adin avada, that's called an eis tefillah. And not only is it a general eis tzara, but it's an eis tzara that's not accompanied literally by chatzaitzus. We don't blow chatzaitzus on Rosh Hashanah today. Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, there's not a mikdash, so when they blew shofar on Rosh Hashanah, they accompanied it with chatzaitzus. Because the pasuk says, b'chatzaitzus, we call shofar really for Hashem. Whenever there's a mitzvah of blowing shofar, so when you're lefnei melech Hashem, when you're in the base of mikdash, then it's supposed to blow the chatzotzos together with the shofar. So Rosh Hashanah is a shtickl zman chatzaitzis. Not for us, we don't have that mitzvah anymore. The Gemara tells a story that after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, so somebody wanted to institute the blowing of chatzaitzis chutz l'mikdash as well. So they were told that that's not appropriate because the pasuk says only for Melech Hashem. You don't blow begvul. You don't blow chatzaitzis outside of the Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara asks the kash in Rosh Hashanah, how could you blow shofar and chatzaitzis together? No one's going to hear the shofar. Trekayil l'mishdame. So the chatzaitzis are going to drown out the shofar. So the Gemara says no. That since it's Rosh Hashanah and people are more interested in hearing the shofar, the real mitzvah sayom is shofar. It's just as a din in mikdash that the shofar has to be accompanied with chatzotzros, but the ikar mitzvah is really the shofar, so people are going to pay more careful attention to the shofar. The din of trekol l'mishtame doesn't mean it's impossible to hear two kolos, it just means it's unlikely you can hear two kolos, but if you really, really try hard, then you'll be able to focus on the one kol that you want to hear. That's what some posts can quote that Gemara when they discuss whether there's a problem of kolisha when you have multiple women singing together. Some posts came out that if you have more than one woman singing, maybe there's no kolisha because Drake Kola Mishtan, you can't hear anything. So others respond, well, you can't hear anything. If one of the voices is nicer than the other, that's the one you're paying attention to, so then that's going to be a problem. That Trekola Mishtami is not an absolute. Trekola Mishtami just means that in normal circumstances, you won't be able to discern one sound over another. But if you try hard enough, you will be able to. So that's a shayla aloch about how that Gemara plays. Get back to that story. So Rosh Hashanah is definitely a time of tefillah, even according to the Ramban. It's a time of potentially, it's a time of tekiyah, time of chatzotzeros. So it makes sense that the tefillah should be elevated in Rosh Hashanah as well. So Hilchos tefillah obviously plays a major, major role. Whether it's qualitatively different Rosh Hashanah or not depends on this. According to the Ramban, it's not qualitatively different. Because every day you mechuyav min haTorah, but according to the Ramban, it is a qualitatively different tefillah. But it's for sure quantitatively different. It's definitely longer. Having a regular day doesn't take 8 hours, so it's definitely a longer tefillah than a regular Shabbos in Yom Tov. So I thought we just spent a little bit of time today almost looking through a little bit of the unique aspects of tefillah and Rosh Hashanah. And very often, when you look at the tefillah, you look at the way Chazal formulated the Nuscha tefillah, the structure of the tefillah, so very often you see a lot of lamdus. It's not just, you know, tefillah wasn't instituted by Stam Chazanim, it was instituted by Chazal. It was instituted by the Yantzik Tetz Tegdeiru, the exact Seyed HaBrachas, and what we said, how we said. So it's important for us to take a careful look, and very often you can see a lot of Torahs, a lot of lamdus, even within the Nuscha tefillah itself. So we'll start from the beginning. Start from the davening of Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah begins with regular Meir. It's a little different niggun. We're not going to try to imitate that for now. That wasn't instituted by Knesset Gedolah, to the best of my knowledge. But although the Maharil writes that one should not change the gunim on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, because it makes people have such a closeness. And the Chaz is going to get up and do a Kal Bach Meir for Rosh Hashanah. That's not right. Rosh Hashanah, yes, you have to do Mbar. That's the way you grew up as a kid. You have to hear the same Nigunim to conjure up the images of Rosh Hashanah. So the Davening begins like a regular Ma'ariv, but then already switches begin. All of a sudden we find ourselves making insertions into the Shemoneh Esrei. The first of the insertions is in Zachreinu. So what do we have to say about Zachreinu? So not that much, because this was not instituted by the Knesset HaGedolah. It doesn't even appear in the Gemara. The Gemara has no mention of saying Zachreinu. For that matter, the Gemara has no mention of saying Michamocha. The Gemara has no mention of saying Chsov or Besefer Chaim. So the four insertions that we're used to during the Sefer Tshuva, beginning of Rosh Hashanah night, do not appear in the Gemara itself. They seem to be from the period of the Gaonim. Quoted, the Rishonim quoted already from the days of the Gaonim, it was customary to say these things. The Rishonim had a lot of problems with these insertions because they seemed to violate some of the principles of Hilchos Tefillah. Usually, in the first three brachos of Shemoneh Esrei are really shevach, not really bakasha. The Rambam writes at the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, commenting in the Gemara in the fifth parak of brachos, that there's a specific seder to Tefillah. Tefillah is supposed to be shevach, bakasha, v'hodah. It's not clear from the Rambam whether all three of those components are ma'akad min haTorah or one of those components is ma'akad min haTorah. But clearly, that's the seder at Tefillah. The Gemara learns that from Sukkot. That's where we daven shevach, bakasha, v'hodah. In the first three brachas, we don't have anything which is derech bakasha. And then all of a sudden, we throw in Zachrein L'chaim in the first of the brachas. It's a little bit of a funny thing. So the Rishonim try to explain it. Tzachei Rabim, Tzachei Tziba, maybe that's different, that breaks the rules. But it is a strange thing that we even insert Zachrein. Most of the Rishonim write that since it's not Medina de Gemara, it's not going to be Ma'akev in the Shemoneh Esrei. If a person forgot Zachrein, we already said the bracha, Magen Avraham, so forget, finishes over. So you don't go back to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei, because it wasn't really an integral part of the Shemoneh Esrei in the first place. The first insertion that becomes an integral part of the Shemoneh Esrei is the insertion, is the change of the bracha of the Melech HaKadosh. So that already is in the Gemara. That the Gemara has in the first bracha of the seventh brachas that Chazal instituted. The Pashas, the Anshik Tesek Dolu, started the Nusach of Tefillah. The Gemara says that the Shemot Esrei was originally instituted by Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, and then it was reformulated a little bit, retouched up a little bit in the days of Rabbi Gamliel, and then they added the 19th bracha. But the basic tefillah already started way, way back. The Chazal tell us, the Gemara tells us in brachas, the Chazal instituted that during the Seder Mitzvah, you say HaMelech HaKadosh instead of HaKel HaKadosh. So we assume that that tachi is ma'achid b'diyav. That's how we paskin. Since that was instituted by Chazal, that's already an integral part of the Shemot Esrei. If a person forgot that, one would have to repeat the Shemot Esrei. The other change that we happen not to have during Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, because it's part of the middle brachas that we don't say in Yontif, that's HaMelech HaMishpat. So that also, the Gemara says in the same breath, that if a person misses HaMelech HaMishpat, that's a big problem. So the Pashta Dvarim is, if you miss HaMelech HaMishpat, you have to repeat the Shemot Esrei also. So there are more quotes of practice that some Rishonim said that if you miss HaMelech HaMishpat, you don't have to repeat. Why? Not that HaMelech HaMishpat is not important, it's very important. But the key word of HaMelech HaMishpat is the word Melech, and we happen to say that in our regular Shemot Esrei all year long. So we say Melech Oyev Tzedach HaMishpat. So if you say HaKel HaKadosh instead of HaMelech HaKadosh, so you blew it because you didn't say Malchus. If you say Melech Oyev Tzedach HaMishpat, so you didn't blow it as bad because you didn't make Malchus. That's what the Rambam quotes. And others disagree with the Rambam. They say, no, that you mentioned Malchus, but that's not the Nuscha Bracha. Because HaOm Misachin, Tavka to change the Nuscha Bracha, the Melech HaMishpat. So if you goofed and you didn't say Melech HaMishpat, you would have to repeat the Shemot Esrei. That's a shail in the Peskim. Should you repeat, not repeat with a Safik, a Tanai, whatever, feels the Dava, that's already a shadow. But that part's not going to play out in Rosh Hashanah, because there's no middle brach in Rosh Hashanah anyway. Fine, so Rosh Hashanah, the only thing that can go wrong is HaMelech HaKadosh. If a person said HaKel HaKadosh, the pashtun is he has to repeat the Shemot Esrei. So the Chayyadim quotes a rather big chiddush from one of the poskim that says that if you missed HaMelech HaKadosh on the first night of Rosh Hashanah, it's not so bad. If you would have asked me, I was the first night, that's opening night, you missed the Melech HaKadosh on the first night, it's a disaster. So the Chayyadim quotes that, no, maybe you don't have to repeat the Shemot Esrei. Why wouldn't you have to repeat the Shemot Esrei, right? So the Chayyadim makes reference to the Gemara in the fourth paragraph of Maseches Brachos. The Gemara says in the fourth paragraph of Brachos that if a person forgot to say Yalav Yavah in Rosh Chodesh, so Shachos and Mincha, you have to repeat the Shemot Esrei, right? If you forgot Yalav Yavah in Ma'ariv, then there's no need to repeat the Shemot Esrei. It's a regular Rosh Chodesh. Why is that? Because Beis Din can't be Mekadosh HaChodesh at night. The din of Kiddush HaChodesh is dafka by day and not by night, because it's a mishpat, mishpat l'chi Yaakov. It's a din of a mishpat, and you can't have a din Torah at night. So therefore, it's not really as man of Kiddush HaChodesh. It's not really as man of HaChodesh. And therefore, if you missed Yalav Yavah, it's nishkefel, not the end of the world. So the Chayyadim quotes that the same is true when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because the Gemara says in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, on that same pasuk, Kichayk Yisrael u'mishpat l'chi Yaakov, that it doesn't become a mishpat l'chi Yaakov. The Rebbe Shem doesn't begin to judge the world until Kichayk Yisrael, until it's a Chayk Yisrael, until Klai Yisrael and Makadosh HaSachaydesh. So the mishpat, the din in Shemayim, doesn't begin until the next morning. So since the din doesn't begin until the next morning, the Melech HaKadosh is an expression of din. The reason why we change the bracha to a Melech HaKadosh is the Rebbe Shem is a Melech Yeshiv HaKiseh Mishpat. So that Melech Yeshiv HaKiseh Mishpat isn't really true at night. It doesn't really happen until the next day. We make reference to it in the Shemot Esrei anyway at night, but it's not really befoil. It's not really its fullest sense until the next morning. So therefore, b'di'evit says the Chayyad, if a person missed the Melech HaKadosh on the night of Rosh Hashanah, it wouldn't be so terrible. So there are many, many people who disagree with this. So the Rav was not at all excited about this pshat. He thought that there's something fundamentally flawed about this pshat. There's a very, very big difference between the deleting of Yalav Yavah and the deleting of HaMelech HaKadosh. Yalav Yavah is what we call a haskara in the Shemot Esrei. It's not an integral part of the Shemot Esrei. It's an external insertion that Chazal instituted during certain times of the year. So some insertions are makev and some insertions are not makev. But even if a person would say daven Shemot Esrei and forgot Yalav Yavah, it's not that they didn't daven Shemot Esrei. They said the entire 19 brachos, said the Shemot Esrei. They just missed the kiyum of Yalav Yavah. So they have to daven over again in order to be yaitzei that kiyum. You can't say Yalav Yavah in a vacuum. So if you miss Yalav Yavah Shachas Mincha, you have to repeat the Shemot Esrei to enable you to chaperayin Yalav Yavah in its right place as an insertion into the Shemot Esrei. But the tefillah b'yayitzeh, the tefillah b'yatzmuso, is still chalal, it's still called the same tefillah, even though you missed Yalav Yavah. Mosh Enkein, HaMelech HaKadosh, is part of the text of the bracha. Chazal Mesakein, that this is the Nuscha bracha. So on most of the year, 344 days of the year, this is the text. And 310 days of the year, this is the text. If a person missed HaMelech HaKadosh during those 10 days, he didn't say anything. He missed the bracha Shemot Esrei. If you miss the bracha Shemot Esrei, that's not But the chila, that's mamash b'diavad. You can't be yaitze the shmoneser b'diavad. You can pilpul about being yaitze b'diavad without yalav yovo. But to say be yaitze b'diavad without a melech hakodosh, that's bechlal not correct, says the Rav. That's sure you would have to repeat the shmoneser. So the answer to this question is don't miss a melech hakodosh. So make sure you daven a machza, Rosh Hashanah. Make sure you don't miss a melech hakodosh. If you miss a melech hakodosh, that's machlekes apayskim whether you would have to repeat the shmoneser or not.
Why wouldn't this apply to every night of the
session? No, because the din started already. It means that the din doesn't kick in. The whole Seis Mitzvah was a din, is a time of din. But it doesn't start until Beis Din is B'Kadosh Chodesh in the morning. Once the B'Kadosh Chodesh, then the Mishpat is 24-7.
No,
that's the one. No, it means the Baruch Shem can judge a night. Tchilas din, it's like the self-din. So Tchilas din, it's din nefashas, can have self-din, but I don't think so. It's only unique about the first night because it hasn't kicked in yet.
Yeah, so we pass in the halacha
that you don't repeat. That's the whole question. Why that so? So it's just later in the Rav talks about that also. My high, why exactly is that so? That's a whole, the second night of Rosh Chodesh is a whole different ballgame. It's not the same as the second night of Rosh Hashanah. That idea that whether or not you accept this psak of the chayyodim, the idea is definitely correct that there is a difference in the night of Rosh Hashanah, the day of Rosh Hashanah. The ikar zman of din of Rosh Hashanah is really by yom. So the mashal, there's an opinion in the Gaonim that we happen not to pass like the Gaonim of the opinion that the proper thing to do on Rosh Hashanah is to fast. You're not really supposed to eat on Rosh Hashanah. It's not an absolute issur to eat on Rosh Hashanah according to the Gaonim, but the proper way to commemorate Rosh Hashanah is by fasting. So we pass that that's not correct. We pass it not only is that not proper, we pass it that's also, we pass it that not allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. We have a little bit of a shiraim, a little bit of a remnant left from the Shittas HaGaonim, in that we're not so careful about, we fast past Chatzos. Normally in Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Rishalmi says, you're not supposed to go past Chatzos. If you already fast past Chatzos, that's a shtickle like Eliyahu fasted that day. So that did that. You're not supposed to fast on regular Shabbos and Yom Tov until Chatzos. That we're not careful on Rosh Hashanah. The Abin goes past 1 o'clock on Rosh Hashanah. And most of us don't have Kiddush before Tzkiyah Shofar. So many of us didn't have a cup of water in the morning either. So many, very often, we go to 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon without eating or drinking anything. So that would normally be a problem on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So we're makel on that. And Chavarim right. The reason why we're makel is because we rely b'di'evah on the Gaonim. Well, let's say if a person benched on Rosh Hashanah, forgot to say Yalav Yovo. So in a regular Yom Tov, 2 days in Tais, but we pass in Shulchan Aruch in a regular Yom Tov, if you forgot Yalav Yovo, you have to repeat the benching. Because Yom Tov is like Shabbos, since you have to eat on Yom Tov, you have to eat on Shabbos. So the lacking of Yalav Yovo, Ritzei, is Ma'akid. Gemara says in Brachas Nefem Tes and Rish Chodesh, if you forgot Yalav Yovo, you don't have to repeat the benching, because you didn't have to eat in the first place. So on Rosh Hashanah, we pask in Mikra, then you do have to eat. Shulchan Aruch, we pask in Mechuv to have a suit. You have to wash and bench in Rosh Hashanah. So we should have really paskin that if you miss Yalav Yovo, you have to repeat the benching. So the Achronim right, and no, that since there are some opinions in the Gaonim that you don't have to wash and bench, so B'diavad, we rely on them. But B'diavad, we treat it like Rosh Chodesh, you don't have to repeat the benching. So the Achronim right, have amendev amaburim, that if you forgot Yalav Yovo, that you don't have to repeat the benching, that's Yalav Yovo in the daytime of Rosh Hashanah. Because then the Gaonim said that you're allowed to fast, you're supposed to fast. But the night of Rosh Hashanah, nobody says you're allowed to fast on the night of Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because the night of Rosh Hashanah is not even a Zman Din. The only time that the Gaonim said that the appropriate thing to do is not to eat is when you're being judged by the Rosh Hashanah. How can you sit and eat? The night before, you're not being judged anyway. So the night is like a regular Yom Tov. So it's almost like a clash in Rosh Hashanah. On the one hand, it's a Yom Tov. On the other hand, it's a Yom Adin. So we paskin, Yom Tov takes over, and Yom Tov overrides Yom Adin, and therefore you daven in the morning, you eat in the afternoon. But the Gaonim said Yom Din permeates the whole day, so you have no right to eat. At least it's not appropriate to eat the whole day. But the night before is pure Yom Tov without Yom Adin. So even the Gaonim agree that you have to wash. And that's what many paskin write, that if you missed Yalav Yovo in the daytime, Rosh Hashanah, you don't repeat the benching. If you missed it at night, then you would have to repeat the benching. So some Acharonim want to say, no. And according to this Chayyadim, you don't have to repeat it at night either. Because since it's not really, it's like missing Yalav Yovo in Ma'ariv for Rosh Chodesh. Just as if you missed Yalav Yovo in Ma'ariv, so you don't have to repeat. So if you missed Yalav Yovo in Benchi, you don't have to repeat either. That's a big, big jump, whether that's correct or not. But at the end of the day, if you missed Tamelech HaKodesh at night, so although the Chayyadim quotes those who are make or not to repeat, others felt strongly they won't be required to repeat. So again, try not to mess up. Yeah, so Pasha's advarim is that you're only not allowed to sleep, or that minig not to sleep, is only at a time when it is Zman Din. We sleep at night, sleep all night in Rosh Hashanah, it's a Yom Din, so the answer is not a Yom Din until the morning. So that's what they quote from the Ari Kodesh, that the din is ready over Bechatzos. Which makes a lot of sense, because that's what we thought, that's what we know. We talk at the Zman of Hashanah, that's Din. We talk at Doni. We talk at Stein Shul till after Chatzos. We daven, daven, daven. Then after Chatzos, so then we go home and eat. Why are we going home and eating? Because we hold that the Din is basically over after Chatzos. So that's what the Ari HaKadosh said. If the Din is over, you're allowed to go eat lunch, so then you're allowed to take a nap also. That's what they call in the name of the Ari. So not everyone agrees. Different practices about this. Poskim write that if you're very tired, you're not going to be able to daven mincha properly. You're not going to be able to learn later. So go to sleep. If you don't go to sleep, you're just going to be wasting the whole afternoon. You're accomplishing nothing. You'll end up talking lashon hara. Then getting lost in tashlich and shmuzing. So just take a nap for 20 minutes. It's better than better than sitting around doing nothing.
Is it better to take a drink of water before davening?
No, I don't think so. It's not, the Minhag Yisrael is not that way. Not mechuyav.
So the second night, I assume that if you forget Aviyavo, then you wouldn't have to, because only the first.
Yeah, the second night is a funny right. The second night is a funny thing because the second night. Meikra didn't make him believe it's the first night, but it's not really the first night. So the second night is very, very tricky. So down with the machzor, make sure you're down with the make sure bench with the bench. Okay? Good. All right. So now the davening continues. So we start the first of the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah. So we're davening Ma'ariv. So we have this whole Hagdamah. V'chein tein pachtach Hashem l'keinu. Where in the world did that come from? V'chein tein pachtach, v'chein tein kovel, v'chein tzadikim. What's going on? What is this tefillah all about? So there are some who suggest that this tefillah is a throwback to one opinion in Tanoim. The Gemara quotes Machlekes of Tanoim in Maseches Rosh Hashanah about where exactly the bracha Malchus is supposed to be. That we know that we have to say Malchus, Zechoros, and Shofers. So Zechoros and Shofers are an independent brachas, but Malchus is kalul in something else. Malchus is included in another bracha. Which bracha is Malchus included in? So we include Malchus in Musa, we include Malchus in the Kedushas Hayom. So we put it together with Tita Lanu, Mechatoenu, and then we, before we get to the end of the bracha, we put in Malchus, and then we conclude the bracha. Melech HaKalas, Bekadish Yisrael, Yom HaZikaron. So the Gemara quotes it. Another time, Rabbi Yechem Inuria said no, that Malchus is supposed to be included in Kedushas Hashem. It's supposed to be in the bracha of Melech HaKadosh. That would make a lot of sense. It's part of Melech HaKadosh. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Shemoneh Esrei and Rosh Hashanah looked like this. At the Kadosh, in the Kadosh, Doshu Chayim, Melech HaSachah, and then you opened up Aleinu L'Shabech, Al Kinekava. You started to have a whole Malchias. And you say all the Pesukim, and then you would conclude the bracha, Baruch Tehu Melech HaKadosh. That would be the self of bracha of Malchias. That was Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Shemoneh Esrei. So we see from Chazal that whenever you have these insertions, the Malchus, Kos, and Shofers, you don't just jump right to the Psukim. You have a little bit of Hagdama, you have a little bit of an introduction. And the introduction leads you into the theme of what the bracha is all about. So some suggest that the introduction of Yechon Ben Uri's Malchus was this tefillah. V'chein tein pachtecha. If you think about it, it's mostly about Kolos HaMalchus Shemayim. V'chein tein pachtecha, v'chein kavod, v'chein tzadikim. And then it leads directly into Malchus, and then it leads directly into leading us to say Tempsuk. And then you finish it up with a Melech HaKadosh. So some say that this tefillah came all the way back from Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's days. We don't follow Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. We say Malchus. We say it in the bracha of Kedushas Hayoyim. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri had this tefillah. Some say that we borrowed this tefillah from Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. That's a question. It's hard for us to know exactly where the source of this particular piyut is, but some argue that this piyut goes all the way back to the days of the Tanoim. But whatever it is, that's what we do. We say this introduction, then we include the bracha Melech HaKadosh. Then we begin to discuss the Kedushas Hayoyim. So on Musaf, the Kedushas Hayoyim becomes very, very, very long because we put the Malchus inside. But the other tefillah, so we don't do that. It's actually the Machlokes and Rishonim. There was some Gaonim of the opinion that you say Malchus, Zechoros, and Shofers for each of the tefillahs, and we don't have that practice. There were two different traditions in the days of the Gaonim. If you look in the Ran, the Balmor in the Ran, the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, so they quote you half the Gaonim one way, half the Gaonim the other way, and the Minhag Yisrael became universally the way we do it today. That we say Malchus, Zechoros, and Shofers only in Musaf. So for us, we have this long, long introduction. Then we finish the Melech HaKadosh. Then we begin with basically a regular Kedushas Hayom. It starts with the Tavach HaTanu, Betin Elon, Yalav V'Yavo. So when the Nusch is a little bit different, Vasiyem is a little bit different. And then basically we conclude with Melech HaOras, Mekadosh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. Not all that different than any other. We put in Melech HaOras, but not all that different than any other Kedushas Hayom for any other Yom Tif. So in this Kedushas Hayom that we mentioned, Shemoneh Esrei, there is a little bit of a change, and that's in the introduction of Atid Elon Hashem Elokeinu Bi'ava. So usually, that introduction to Kedushas Hayom that we do in any other Yom Tov carries with it the following phrase, Atid Elon Hashem Elokeinu Bi'ava, Mo'adim L'Simcha Chagim L'Zman L'Mesosin, it's Yom Dararam, Yom Chagamatz Tazeh. So that whole phrase of Mo'adim L'Simcha Chagim L'Zman L'Mesosin is deleted on Rosh Hashanah. Why is it deleted in Rosh Hashanah? So it's a machlekes at Rishonim, machlekes at Gaonim already. Thousands of years ago, there was a machlekes already whether we're correct in what we do that we delete it or whether we should insert it. So half the Gaonim had that phrase in Rosh Hashanah also. And half the Gaonim said, no, it's not right. Leave it out. You don't say it. What are they fighting about? What are they arguing about? So it seems to be that they're arguing about, is there a mitzvah simcha on Rosh Hashanah? So half the Gaonim had the phrase in the Shemoneh Esrei, because they wanted to highlight that Rosh Hashanah is a zman simcha. And the other half of the Gaonim said, no, it's not true. Rosh Hashanah is not a zman simcha. So from the fact that we left it out, and the Minhag Yisrael for the last 1,000 years is to leave it out, it sounds like we're machariya that there's no mitzvah simcha on Rosh Hashanah. That's a very, very difficult position to take, because the pashta dvarim is there is a mitzvah simcha, the proof positive that there's a mitzvah simcha on Rosh Hashanah is from Hilchas Avelos. The Mishnah says in Maseches Noi Katan that if a person Rechman Atzlan is sitting shiva before Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah comes and cancels the Avelos. How does that happen? So the Gemara says in Makot Daf Yudalet that Avelos is a mitzvah sayochid, it's a private mitzvah, and Simchas Yadav is a mitzvah satzibor. So Osi Eseh Sharab and Vidochi Eseh Shal Yochid. And you have a clash between private Avelos and public simcha, so the public simcha takes precedence. So the Gemara says beferish that it's that aspect of Simchas Hayom that pushes off Avelos, and we know that Rosh Hashanah pushes off Avelos. So if you need Simcha to push off Avelos, and Rosh Hashanah pushes off Avelos, so A equals B, B equals A equals C, it means obviously there must be some Simchas Yontif on Rosh Hashanah. So if there's Simchas Yontif on Rosh Hashanah, so why don't we talk about it? Why don't we mention it? Why don't we say it? Why do we follow that opinion of the Gaonim that took that phrase out? So in the Sefer Mishnas Yavetz, Zolti, so he suggests that the reason why we delete that phrase, why we follow that tradition of the Gaonim not to insert that phrase, is not because halachically we hold there's no simcha, but we leave it out for a different reason entirely. The Gemara says in the end of Rosh Hashanah that we really should say Hallel in Rosh Hashanah. Based on all the rules of saying Hallel, Hallel should be recited in Rosh Hashanah. Why is that? Why should we think we should say Hallel in Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara explains in Maseches Tainus and Maseches Erechin that there are two distinct mechayvim of saying Hallel. There are two different occasions during the year that warrant the saying of Hallel. One is Yontif. Whenever you have a Yontif, Yontif is a mechayv of Hallel. That's why we say Hallel in Shmini Atzeres. What great event occurred in Shmini Atzeres? Nothing. We say Hallel on other days, which are Yom Tov. Whenever there's a Yom Tov, so you say Hallel, even if nothing happened. Then there's a second Mechayev of Hallel, that's the Hallel of a Nes. If you have a Nes that occurs to Klal Yisrael, you have to say Hallel, even though it's not a Yom Tov. For example, Chanukah. Chanukah is not a Yom Tov, it's not a Mayit, it's not Muslim, not just a Yom Tov, it's a Malacha, nothing. It doesn't have any dimensions of Yom Tov, and we still say Hallel because it's a Nes. So the Gemara says that Hallel is said for different reasons. Hallel is said b'ter is Yom Tov, Hallel is said b'ter is Nes. Sometimes you have a combination of both. Let's say the first day of Pesach. So some poskim write that the hallel on the first day of Pesach is a combination. It's a hallel of Yontif and a hallel of Neis. And others disagree with that. But it's clear from the Gemara that there are two separate, distinct mechayvim of reciting hallel. So the Gemara says in Maseches Erechin, Maseches Tainus, Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that we should have said hallel on Rosh Hashanah. Based on what? So clearly it's not the aspect of Neis. No miracle happened in Rosh Hashanah. The only reason why we should have said Hallel on Rosh Hashanah is because it's a Yom Tov. So we should have said Hallel on Rosh Hashanah no different than any other Yom Tov, no different than Shmini Atzeres, different than Shavuos. So why don't we say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara says because Sifri Chaim v'Sifri Meisim Suchim Lefar B'Tim HaMashira, that it's not appropriate to say Hallel when this is Mat Hadin. Even though it's true that Rosh Hashanah is a joyous occasion to some degree, it is a Yom Tov, that's true, and it would have been a time that would have warranted Hallel. But we can't bring ourselves to say Hallel because of Sifri Chaim and Sifri Meisim Sukkah Lefanim. The Rambam, when he quotes that din, Hilchas Chanukah, and the din of Hallel, so the Rambam writes that Rosh Hashanah is not as mad as Simcha Yaseira. It's a time of Simcha, but not Simcha Yaseira. It's not an overjoy. And therefore, the Rambam writes that it's not right to say Hallel at a time unless you're in the state of complete and total uninhibited joy. If there's something bothering you, it says May Pachar, May Yira, May Daga, etc., it's a Zman of Din mixed into the Zman of Yontif, so that type of a day doesn't warrant the saying of Hallel. That's a Lashon HaRambam. So Rav Zolti suggests that idea that we keep things on the tone down in Rosh Hashanah, that we don't express ourselves with the fullest joy in Rosh Hashanah, that's the reason why we deleted the phrase Muadim, the Simcha Chag, Mazman Masas, for the same reason. That now that's not a time of Simcha. It is a time of Simcha. It does cancel Avelos, but it's not something that we scream from the rooftops. That we keep it on the hush-hush, keep it on the low, on the back burner, the fact that it's Zman Simcha, because it was so permeated, we're so nervous about the din, so for us to start screaming at the top of our lungs, it's Zman Masas, Chag, Mazman Masas, That would take away a little bit from the din. That would detract from the fact of the yamadin. So therefore, we don't talk about it. Is it true? Is it manam sasan? Is it mitzvah? So yeah, there is simchas yontif. Do we have to do simchas yontif? Yeah, whatever simchas yontif is, yeah. Does Rosh Hashanah cancel avelus? Yeah. Is it really a yontif? Yeah. Is it really simcha? Yeah. Well, we don't talk about it. The same way we don't talk about halal, we don't talk about the Kiddush Sayyom having a time, who's manam sasan as well. So at the end of the day, we leave out that phrase. So we go to the phrase of Rosh Hashanah itself. When we refer to Rosh Hashanah as Yom HaZikaron HaZeh, Yom Teruah, because the Torah does speak about two different aspects of Rosh Hashanah. It's a Zichron Teruah, so it's a Yom HaZikaron, and it's a Yom Teruah Yelechem also. So we describe Rosh Hashanah in the two ways that appears in the Chumash, Yom HaZikaron HaZeh, Yom Teruah. So there is an age-old practice that also goes back to the Shanim quote, that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, that we change the text a little bit. Rather than calling it a Yom Teruah, we say Yom Zichron Teruah. Why do we say Yom Zichron Teruah? Because we're not going to blow shofar. Because you're not allowed to blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. So is that appropriate? Is that a correct changing of the text or not? So even though that's the Minhag Yisrael and it really has roots back thousands of years, that nuance of change, it doesn't appear in the Gemara, but that nuance, that changing the word a little bit, making it to Yom Zichron Teruah, has its roots back to the days of the Gaonim. Al-Pi Aloch, it's a very, very difficult change to defend. Because the Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that min haTorah you have to blow shofar on Shabbos also. The fact that we don't blow shofar on Shabbos, that's only midirabbanan, because you may come to carry the shofar, but midiraisa you do. That's what the Bavli proves in the beginning of the fourth parak, with that principle that min haTorah you do blow shofar, because the Mishnah says, Rosh Hashanah chalas b'Shabbos, the mikdash ha'tegel v'lo b'medina. That when Rosh Hashanah fell on Shabbos, they used to blow in the base of Mikdash, but they didn't blow outside of the Mikdash. Or Machlek is outside of Shalayim, outside of Mikdash, wherever the finish of the Mikdash is. So the Gemara asks, why is that? Why don't you blow shofar on Shabbos? So the Gemara thought, by the Havamina, that maybe you don't blow shofar on Shabbos because the Pasuk of Zichron Teruah. Because in one place the Torah says Yom Teruah, you have to mamish blow. Another place the Torah says Zichron Teruah, that you just talk about it, you just think about it, you don't really blow itself. So the Gemara says, Kan b'chol, kan b'Shabbos. That Yom Teruah is Yom Chol, Zichron Teruah is on Shabbos. And then Minatari Yitaka, don't blow shofar in Shabbos. So the Gemara says, what? If that's true, so then why Minatari do you blow in the Mikdash? So that shows that Pshat is not correct. So the Gemara says, you're right. We were wrong. That the emes is that Minatari you blow Bein B'chol Bein Shabbos. And the only reason why we don't blow Chutz Mikdash is because Zeir Hashem, you're going to carry the shofar. And Ein Shvus Mikdash, and the base of Mikdash, the Sanhedrin, they'll stop you. The Quran will prevent you from carrying Shalak Yadim. So at the end of the day, the Gemara, the Bavli concludes that Minatari you do blow B'Shabbos. So the phrase Zichron Teruah doesn't refer to Shabbos. There's no difference in Yom Teruah and Zichron Teruah are identical. So they both refer Bein B'chol Bein B'Shabbos. So it's a very, very strange Nuschat Tefillah. So Nuschat Tefillah, we're defending the Havamina of the Gemara. Our Nuschat Tefillah, by adding in the word Zichron Teruah on Shabbos, is a throwback to the Havamina that the Gemara rejects. So it's true that the Bavli rejects it, but the Rishami Taka defends it. The Rishami's conclusion is, no, in Achinami, the Yitaka don't blow shofar on Shabbos min haTorah. So what does the Rishami do with the Bavli's kasha? How can we blow in B'mikdash? So the Rishami learns out from the Pasuk, because it says, in Parshas Pinchas, Yom Teruah Yelochem Vasisem Oilah. It speaks about blowing shofar, and then it talks about bringing karbanah. So the Rishami darshins that min haTorah, it's always Yom Teruah B'mikdash. Chutz L'mikdash, it's sometimes Yom, sometimes Zichron, but B'mikdash, it's always Yom Teruah. So the Rishami's maskana is like the Havamina that was rejected in the Bavli. So the Nuschat Tefillah that we have today makes a lot of sense according to the sheet that we don't postulate. It's a great sheet according to the Rishami. Why we daven Alibidi Rishami, I'm not sure why. I'm not sure what the answer to that question is. So that Minhag HaGa'onim is a throwback to a sheet that's a valid sheet in Halacha. It's not the maskana's Talmud Bavli, it's the maskana's Talmud Rishami. So again, it's a little bit of a strange thing in Nuschat Tefillah that we change the Nusach a little bit, but Lamaisa, that's what the Minhag Yisrael is, so Lamaisa, that's what we do. That can so continue in the Shemoneh Esrei, and then it pretty much continues like a regular Yom Tov Tikkun Shemoneh Esrei. Then it moves to the brachos. Afterwards, we'd say we have those insertions of Chsov and the Sefer Chaim. Again, as we mentioned before, neither of those two late insertions are ma'akev because they weren't instant. They don't appear in the Gemara, so they're not going to disqualify the Shemoneh Esrei. There were two different minhagim in Klal Yisrael about how to conclude the last bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur throughout this Esrei Mitzvah. So if you look in the article, Machzor Otayim, some say this way, some say that way. So one way is to keep the bracha the way it is. You just insert B'Sefer Chaim and then you conclude with a Mevarach Zav Esrei B'Shalom, like a regular day. And others actually change the text itself, then Mishana it to Osa HaShalom. So there's already two old different practices. Those who were opposed to the second practice of Osa HaShalom, they claim that we have no right to change the Nuscha Bracha. The Madbeh Shetav HaChom Bebrachas, the Nuscha Brachas were instituted by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, So unless Chazal tell us that we're allowed to change it, we have no right to change it. So we can add in B'Sefer Chaim, you can add whatever you want, but to change the Nuscha Bracha itself, that's much more problematic. That's why many, many were opposed to that practice, that custom of Oseh Shalom. In Europe, so in many communities, it was prevalent to say Oseh Shalom. That's why in the old Machzorim, I grew up with the Birnbaum, you know, the red, maroon, the Roshayim, people Machzor, so it just said Oseh Shalom. So I thought, everybody says Oseh Shalom. Right? When you grew up by Oseh, everybody said Oseh Shalom. Then we got a little bit older, we realized that in the Litvish communities, they didn't say, in the Litvish yeshivas, they didn't say Oseh Shalom. They said, I'm a Baruch Zabashab Shalom, like they were on the Golems, men, like others. And then, even in my own lifetime, I've seen the minute change in America. It came out in the Gamri. When I was a kid, I never heard the word I'm Baruch Zabashab Shalom until I was maybe a teenager. It was unheard of. All the shuls I ever davened, always Oseh Shalom. Then when I started davening yeshiva, it was Baruch Zabashab Shalom. Then as more boys went off to yeshiva to Yisrael, so in Eretz Yisrael they all said Mevarech. So when they came back, they started to say that. People started to daven in the Litvisha world, the yeshivisha world, and all of a sudden everything changed. And now you go into your average shul in America today, now they're already saying Mevarech. All right, most say Mevarech.
A lot of people say at the end of Kaddish, Oseh Shalom, they changed
to Oseh HaShalom. Yeah. Is that a throwback to this also? Yeah, in Rechanami. Anyway, so these are just some of the highlights in terms of some of the nuances of the tefillah changes that take place in the standard Rosh Hashanah davening.
Think about the changing of a bracha. Does that also apply to Shema Esrei that we're not allowed to change Shema Esrei? Because we did add past the times of the Anshei Knesset Gadol, we did add it after anyway.
Right, so we assume that that's not really considered to be a change. That's not considered to be a change in the Igra HaBarach itself. That's just a little bit of an insertion. There is a big machlokes on Rishonim about adding piyutim into different things. So some Rishonim were vehemently opposed to the adding of any kinds of piyutim, and others were much more make. They felt that piyutim are not a change to the Nuscha HaBarach proper, they're just additions. So when Rishonim give up, everyone ends in these things. No, I don't think, and even the Rishonim who were opposed to piyutim, I'm not sure they were opposed to this. I don't know much. Okay, so, yeah. No, the Gemara says that. The Gemara says that black and white, you change the Bechel Kaddish. So Chazal is here, this is post-Gemara time, right? There's a famous joke about the shul, that they got into a big fight in shul, because half the people wanted to say Oseh Shalom, and the other half wanted to say Mevarach. So they got into a fight about how to make shalom. So I'm just trying to avoid the fights. Okay. So up to now we spoke about the general tefillahs. Now we focus on, in a sense, the most basic, the most fundamental tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, and that's the tefillah's Musaf. So the question is that really true? The Musaf is really the fundamental, of all the tefillahs. So the L'chora, what makes it the most basic, fundamental tefillah is that when we add on the Malchias, Chorus, and Shofaros, we blow the Shofar in the Musaf, so that gives all this great hype to the Musaf. The question is that really 100% accurate that this tefillah is so fundamentally different than the other tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah itself? So we mentioned before that there was some Rishonim who said that you say Malchus, Zechonos, and Shofros at every tefillah, Meir of Mincha, Shachris, Musaf, you say it the same. So according to those Rishonim, Malchus, Zechonos, and Shofros is part of the Kedushas Hayom. It's nothing about the blowing of the Shofar that's Mechayev, Malchus, Zechonos, and Shofros. It's the Kedushas Hayom that's a Mechayev. So we don't follow that view. We follow the view that you only say Malchus and Shofros at Musaf because we blow the Shofar at Musaf. So we hold that the saying of Malchus and Shofros is more of a kiyum of Shofar. It's not so much a reflection of Kedushas Hayom. It's the same Kedushas Hayom, Ma'ariv Shachris, Musaf Mincha, the same Kedushas Hayom. The reason why we don't mention Malchus and Shofros is because we hold that's not an integral part of Rosh Hashanah. Malchus and Shofros are the brachas of the tefillos that accompany the Shofar. If you blow Shofar Mincha, you'd say Malchus and Shofros Mincha. We don't blow Shofar Mincha, we blow Shofar Musaf. So therefore, Musaf gets to a higher status, not because of Musaf gets to a higher status because that's the Tfilas HaShofar. So since that's the Tfilas HaShofar, the Mela gets boosted up and it gets the Malchus HaKadosh and Shofar. Is that true? That Musaf is the Tfilas HaShofar? So the Gemara says that wasn't always true that way. The Gemara says in the olden days they used to blow Shofar and Shacharis. The Gemara says that why is it when we say Hal after Shacharis and we blow Shofar during Musaf? So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't make any sense. We should really do everything after Shacharis. The reason like giving the mitzvahs. We should do everything as early as possible. We should blow Shofar right after, we should blow in the middle of Shacharis like we do in the middle of Musaf. So why do we push it off to Musaf? So the Gemara explains, because we can thank the Romans for that. Because there used to be gzeiros, there used to be persecutions against the Jews. in the Greeks, the Romans, that they would be opposed to Tekiah Shofar. Why were they so opposed to Tekiah Shofar? Because Tekiah Shofar was always a call to arms, it was a call to a battle. So they wanted to make sure the Jews weren't rebelling, so they would put the guards in different shuls in Rosh Hashanah. They put the secret policemen to make sure that the Jews weren't blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So they would come to shul on Rosh Hashanah, they would daven shacharis, and they were plotting to blow shofar. That's when you should blow. So you deal with mitzvahs, you should blow in chazos hashatz, you should blow during shacharis. But the rabbanim told them, don't do that, it's too dangerous. They're going to arrest us, they're going to kill us if we blow shofar. So they didn't blow. So what happens? And when they finish daven shacharis, then the rabbi gets up to speak, gives a drasha. So everyone falls asleep, including the Roman policemen, they all fall asleep. And then starts laying, and they start making mishaberichs. Everyone gets an aliyah rishona, makes 1,000 mishaberichs. Then they make mishaberichs from today till tomorrow for everything under the sun. And now it's the schlepping, is ready at 11:30 in the morning. The policemen are tired already. They want to go home already. They want to go to sleep. And they're ready to report back to their superiors that the Jews aren't blowing shofar. Davening's almost over. They know that it's ready, Moses. They see the oilim already went to the Kiddush clubs. They already see everyone's left. They already know the people are ready who are getting the hats. They already got the hats. They're already wearing the hats for Moses. The guys are falling off the talisim already. Groups are over already. And for the kids, Davening's coming to an end. So the Romans figured, all right, Zolzayn, nothing's going to happen now. So they would leave a few minutes early. So as soon as the Romans ran out, then the Valtrilli gets up and starts to hinnany. The Romans were probably around for hinnany. They heard a long enough hinnany, they tackle fell asleep, they left. So then all of a sudden, the Romans left, and quick chick-chack, they took out the shofar, they started running through Machas, Chos, and Shofar, and blowing shofar in Muslim, and nobody ever, the Romans never caught on. So the Gemara says that for years and years, they pulled a stunt over the guards. So eventually they decided they kept it in Musaf anyway. We keep the Machas HaKadosh and Shofar and the Shofar and everything in Musaf. The Pashta Dvarim is in the olden days when they used to blow during Shacharis. So they used to say Machas HaKadosh and Shofar during Shacharis also. So now that we no longer blow in Shacharis, we move it into Musaf. So we do it the way we do it. There's another advantage of blowing during Musaf, there are more people there. If you blow in Shacharis, not everyone's there on time. The problem is if you blow a Musaf, so then people are already leaving, but it's so late in the day. So that's what the Balamor has. Balamor says that he thinks that Medina de Gemara is not exactly the way we blow Shofar today. There are two different tekiyas. The Gemara describes the tekiyas to Miyushim and the tekiyas to Ma'umad. So the Gemara says, the Pharisees, you have to blow Shofar two different sets. So Ruv the Rishayim said, Tekiyas de Miyushav are the ones we blow before Musaf, and the Tekiyas de Ma'umad are the ones you blow in the middle of Musaf. Either Sanj, or Sechas, Shatz, or Bo, whatever during Musaf you blow, that's the Tekiyas de Ma'umad. So that appears in the Gemara Befeirush. It's not a Chazal, they blew Tekiyas de Miyushav, Tekiyas de Ma'umad. So both of the Rishonim say Miyushav are before, because you don't have to stand up, and Ma'umad on the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, so everyone's standing anyway, because that's the Shatz, Shmoneh Esrei, everyone's standing up anyway, those are the Tekiyas de Ma'umad. So the Baal HaMor says he doesn't think that's right. He thinks that that's mistranslation of Ma'umad and Miyushav. Says the Baal HaMor, the Tekiyas during Musaf are the Tekiyas to Miyushav, because everybody's sitting, it's Chazos HaShatz. Says the Baal HaMor, whoever heard of standing Chazos HaShatz? What do you think the Baal HaMor? He wasn't in a yeshiva, in the Baal Batim, nobody stands during Chazos HaShatz. So the Baal HaMor writes, and those are the Tekiyas to Miyushav. What are the Tekiyas to Ma'umad? The Tekiyas to Ma'umad means when people are getting up, not when they're standing Shmoneh Esrei. Most Rishonim say Ma'umad means when you're standing Shmoneh Esrei. When you're paying attention to Chazos HaShatz, you're standing in place. Ma'umad says, no, Ma'umad means you're walking out the door. Miyushav means you're sitting down, relaxed, no one's going anywhere in the middle of the Chazos HaShatz. And Ma'umad means you're ready to get your hat, you're ready to fold your towels, you're ready to run out the door. Those are the Tekiyas to the Ma'umad that Chazal are referring to. According to Baal HaMor, there's no mention of any Tekiyas before Musaf. The Miyushav or Joy Musaf and the Ma'umad are after Musaf. So what about before Musaf? So the Baal HaMor says, you know why the Gemara doesn't say anything about them? Because they didn't exist. The Baal HaMor says, nobody blew Shofar before. The blowing of Shofar was only, the Ikra of the Shofar was during Shmoneh Esrei and then after Shmoneh Esrei. That which we blow now makes such a tibdut now with Lamatzech, Levdekarach, with Tzemeh, Hoch Chagadja. So the Baal HaMor says, that didn't exist, Bizman Chazal. So who instituted that? So the Baal HaMor says that the Ge'enim instituted that because they saw people weren't staying in shul long enough. Because people were running out of shul before Chazos HaShatz was over, they were missing some of the tekiyas. So therefore Chazal instituted that we have to make sure everybody hears tekiyas shofar. So Nebuch, the Ge'enim already instituted to blow before Musaf starts. So according to Ruba the Rishonim, the Iker tekiyas are at the very beginning, and then the Iker tekiyas continue through the Shmoneh Esrei. And the fact that we blow at the end by Inka Lakena, those are Hagim, those are bonus tekiyas. That's not the real tekiyas. The real tekiyas are before Musaf and during Musaf. Everyone agrees, Lamaisa, we blow three times. We blow before Musaf, during Musaf, and after Musaf. It's just that most of the Rishonim say the Iker tekiyas are before and during, and the after is a nothing. Baal HaMor is the opposite. Baal HaMor says the real tekiyas are during and after, and the before are almost the nothing tekiyas. So Nebuch, we have to do it because the Olam is leaving, because it's thanks to the Romans, because since davening is shlopping so late, and we're not blowing so late, so people are going to be out the door, we have to throw in an early tekiyas to make sure everybody has tekiyas. So again, at the end of the day, everyone's blowing the same amount, everyone's blowing the same time, everyone's blowing everything. It's just a question of focus, which are the ikat tekiyas, which are not the ikat tekiyas. So getting back to the story, so we begin the Malchus Chonis and Shofros, and which we limit only to Musaf, because we hold this it didn't show, for instance, we blow Dafka Musaf, so Malchus Chonis and Shofros gets thrown into Musaf. So even though we mentioned before that one opinion the Tanoim is that you say the Malchus is part of the Kedushas Hashem, part of the Malchus Kadosh. We don't follow that view. We put a Dafka into the Bracha of Kedushas Hayom. So the Bracha of Kedushas Hayom of Musaf begins very similar to regular Brachas. You start with the words of Ibn Chatoenu. So we start like any other Kedushas Hayom. Ibn Chatoenu Galina Miratzeinu V'Yisrachach V'Yal Maseinu. The question is, what's the next phrase? So in a regular yontif, so we say we bemoan the fact that Nebuch, we can't do Aliyah L'Regel anymore. And then we say we can't bring the regular Kabbanis, we can't do Aliyah L'Regel, and da da da, we hope and pray we have a basic Mikdash again. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes in the Rishonim that on Rosh Hashanah you have to delete that phrase. Rishonim Yom Kippur, it's completely inappropriate to say that phrase because it's not a time of Aliyah L'Regel. How are you going to say V'Ein Enach Nechom Lalos V'Leros Nechom Nechom? Even Bizman Mikdash didn't do the regal in Rosh Hashanah. The little regal is on the Shalosh Regalim. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch writes that the phrase should go as follows: Bnei Chatoenu Galim Yatzenu, Yisachachem Yal Maseinu, the Ein Anach Necholim Lasas Chavaseinu Beis Chirasecha. That's what we pass in the Locha to take out that phrase. Necholim Lasas Leros Adams Menach. So the first year in our shul, so the Chazan gets up and davens with the Jews in the Machzor. We have brought us a Rosh Hashanah Machzor. The big article of Rosh Hashanah Machzor. The Chazan gets up and davens. And he starts the first day of Rosh Hashanah saying, so as soon as I heard him say that, I put my hand up to stop him. So he points to the Machzor. So I look at the Machzor. He was right. In the Machzor, it said, so I said to him, it's wrong. I said, it's wrong. I said, leave it. I don't care what it says in the Machzor. It's wrong. Shulchan Aruch writes the Feirish, all the poskim might not to say that phrase. Turns out it was a mistake in the article. They recalled the Machzor the next year. They made a printer's error. So you're not supposed to do that. Somebody told me that one of the shuls in Tinek still Ad Yom Hazeh uses that old machzor, and every year the Chazan makes the same mistake, and every year people correct him, and every year they forget to get a new machzor. So every year they say the same thing. So they told me that, I spoke about this in my shul last week a little bit, so one of my balabatim told me that he asked the Rav and this other shul in Tinek, how come they still say every year Ve'enach Cholom Lalos Leiros Adachos Lavecha? So the Rav said to him, as a joke, he said, well, of course it's Ve'enach Cholom Lalos Leiros Adachos Lavecha, it's Rosh Hashanah, so you don't do the regal. So Ve'enach Cholom Lalos Leiros Adachos Lavecha. That's exactly what it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch. He was saying as a joke that he forgets every year to get rid of to put the marks into Sheamus. Okay, anyway, getting back to the story. So we introduce the Kedushas Hayom. So first we focus on Kedushas Hayom. We mention the Kabbalah Hayom. We make mention of Rosh Chodesh also. We say Musfei because it is Rosh Chodesh also. And then we go immediately into Aleinu Shabbat as the introduction to the Malchus. So the saying of the Malchus, the Mishnah says in Masechet Rosh Hashanah that the Tekiyah Shofar for each of the brachas has to be accompanied by Psukim that are appropriate, that relate to the notion of Malchus Shamayim. Which psukim you pick, it's up to you. You can choose whichever psukim you want. Chazal would never misakai specific psukim, but they have to be things that make sense, that they're appropriate, that they relate to the theme of Malchus Shamayim. The Gemara says that you have to have three chumash, three ksuvim, three neviim, and then the last one is from chumash. So one of the psukim that we use, the last one is Shema Yisrael. So Shema Yisrael is a funny pasuk because it doesn't say Malchus Shemayim in it. So the Gemara says that's okay, even though it doesn't say Malchus Shemayim, we know everyone knows what it means. It's Ein Lecha Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim Kol Mizeh. So since it's the statement of Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim par excellence, even though it doesn't have the magic word Melech, that's okay. That's also acceptable, and that's what I'm minig is. So we can include the Bracha Malchus with Shema Yisrael. Then when it comes to the psukim of Zichrono, so the Gemara is the same pismon, you don't really have specific psukim that you have to pick. Any pasuk that makes sense, that fits into the nice theme, that's okay. So again, we have an age-old piyut that we say, all the Ashkenazi communities in Klai, so almost all of them say the same thing. In the Yekesh communities, they have a little bit of a different piyut, and they have to have different arrangements to the psukim. And I imagine some of the Edot HaMizrach, the Lagamri different, you know? The one here, familiar with? Is it totally different? Right. Totally different, yeah. Because those are all minhagim. The Ikra Din is, yeah, they all say psukim. You say tem psukim also, but are they the same psukim? You're not sure they're the same psukim. The other same psukim. No, but the yakis, some of the psukim are not even the same because there's no din that you have to say specifically this psukim. So in the chelek of Zichronos, we give the whole introduction, and then we got boom, we say pasuk after pasuk after pasuk. So one of the psukim that we say in Zichronos is a little bit questionable. We say zeche asal l'oisav chanav v'racham Hashem. The reason why that's a problematic pasuk is because that's not the theme of Zichronos. Zichronos means that a Kadosh Baruch Hu remembers us. Zecher Asal Nefla'osa means a Kadosh Baruch Hu created something that we can remember him. It's like a souvenir, maskeret. We're going to remember him. Zecher Asal Nefla'osa. The Kadosh Baruch Hu made a way that we're going to remember his Nefla'os. That's not what Zichronos is all about. Zichronos is Kadosh Baruch Hu remembering us. That's what the Rav thought that pasuk wasn't, didn't really belong there. That wasn't one of the psukim. So what's it doing there? Because it's the pasuk before the next pasuk. Because the next one is Vayiskal and Briso Vinochim Kur Chasadov. So that pasuk makes a lot of sense. Vayiskal and Briso, Bershal remembers his bris. That's the Zichronos. So why do we stick in the first pasuk? The first pasuk is a lead into the second pasuk. So the problem the Rav said is that now you minus a pasuk because you have to have three Zichronos from Novi. So the Rav's tefillah, so his machs, he added on another pasuk. So the Gemara says, you can name whatever psukim you want. You can say more than 10 psukim. We do say more than 10 psukim. By shofars, we say, Hallelujah, Kebbel Kadr, take a shofar, we say another 30 psukim. By Sushar Meshech, we say another 5 psukim melacha. So we add on a lot more psukim. So the Rav's minig was, he added on another pasuk. That Zachar Abisa, Davatzil, Avdor, whatever, some other pasuk in Navi that has the word Zechira in there in the appropriate ways. Again, the old minig Yisrael is not that way. Most standard machzorim don't have that. But in Yeshiva, if I'm not mistaken, anyone have in Yeshiva? I don't know what I think they added that pasuk in some shuls that followed that minig of the Rav. So they throw it for good luck. So you don't lose anything by throwing it in. But again, those who have the minig have it. Those who don't have it, don't have it. But the Yavidi, I'd say, even if you don't say Temsuk, but the Yavidi, I'd say, we would much less than Temsuk. But some added on that extra pasuk because of that concern. When it comes to the end of the bracha of Zichronos, so it's a little bit shaky how you're supposed to include the bracha of Zichronos. Because we mentioned Akedis Yitzchak, so there were two nuschals in the Rishonim. So one opinion in the Rishonim was, Akedis Yitzchak, Lazaro, Barachamim, Hayom, Barachamim, Tizk, that's what we say. Akedis Yitzchak, Lazaro, Hayom. So some were opposed to that. Why are they opposed to that? Because Zaro Shal Yitzchak, it's got a lot of two children, Yaakov and Esav. So the last thing we want is that the Rosh should remember his Racham, should remember the Schusim that came to Esav. We don't, Esav don't like us too much. We don't want to give him too many Schusim. So we don't want to say Lazaro Shal Yitzchak. So some Rishonim added in the word Lazaro Shal Yaakov, Hayom Racham Tizkor. So I think by the Yekis they say that Adiyam was there. Vakedes Yitzchak, Lazaro Shal Yaakov, Hayom Racham Tizkor. So others responded back that it's not necessary to say that because the Gemara says in the Adarim, Ki bi Yitzchak yikar l'chazar, bi Yitzchak v'lo kol Yitzchak, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Adam Avinu that the bris, the continuity of Kais was going to go through Yitzchak, it was Ki bi Yitzchak v'lo kol Yitzchak, so Esav is not the Zerah Shal Yitzchak. That's the Gemara says in Daf Yomi a few days ago that B'nai Esav don't have the mitzvah bris mila. They weren't the continuity, they weren't the legacy of Yitzchak Avinu, they're not the Zerah Shal Yitzchak really. So we're safe to daven by saying Ki Lazara Hayom. Lazara means Allah Hegzera, Ayi Klais, or the Bnei Yaakov. So others say, but you know, you have to be very careful when you're davening. You want to be Meduyik Milosha, and you don't want to, you know, relying on Gemara's and Maseches Nedarim. You want to make it very, very clear. So others say, but the Rosh knows the Gemara's Nedarim. The Rosh Hashanah wants to keep Yitzchak and Kalach Zara. So the Rosh Hashanah knows exactly what you're talking about. So they're different Minhagim. So do two different Nischos. So if you daven the other nisach, you have to add a little bit of a kinach to it, because it doesn't fit the niggun as well. So you got to add another word. You got to go, If you daven the regular standard minig, so remember what they say in the Delta Mizrahi. Do you remember what? Remember, you know, take a look on Rosh Hashanah and see whether they were concerned about the Zerah Shel Yaakov or not. Okay. Anyway, whatever, it's fine. Then we move into the bracha of Shofros. And we come to the bracha of Shofros, so we have a very, very questionable phrase that appears in the bracha of Shofros. And that's the last pasuk. The Gemara says you have to blow, you have to say three psukim of Chumash, three psukim of Ksuvim, then three psukim of Nevi'im, and then you mash them Echad B'Torah. Then the last, the grand finale is a pasuk from the Torah itself. So the question becomes, the last pasuk should be a proper expression of the Tekim of the Bracha, i.e. it should have the word shofar in it. So all of a sudden we pick a pasuk that has nothing to do with Shofros, it's Chatzaisis. It's a beautiful pasuk. It's a beautiful nigun. It fits in very nicely, except it doesn't fit into the bracha nicely because the bracha shayfa is not chatzaitzis. So some Rishonim said take it out. Some Rishonim said it's wrong. It doesn't belong in the bracha. We should find another pasuk somewhere in Chumash that has the word shofar in it. So the defense, the other Rishonim will defend this practice, which has become our practice at Ayin Hazeh, to say shofaris. Is that to say the parakim chatzaitzis and shofaris? So we assume for two reasons. First of all, we assume that even though shofaris and chatzaitzis are different, there are similarities between them. The Gemara actually learns out some of the dinim of the shofar from the kias chatzaitzis. There's a machlekes atanoim. How do we know the say that kias in the first place? How do we know the idea that we blow tkiya truat kia? Where did that basic tzura come from in the Tosha B'Ksav? So one Tana says it's based on psukim bayoyvel, because it says bevarta shofar trua. Give tavir shofar. So havar shofar means tkiya. True is a trua, and tavir shofar is a lashon kol, the lashon of tkiya. And the other Tana in Rosh Hashanah says no, we derive it from the chatzaitis, because it says it's katem trua, trua yisgeu. So we have a right to compare the tkiyas of chatzaitis and tkiyas shofar. They're different instruments, but the common denominator is they're both tkiyos. So we have a right to compare one to another. So some Rishonim say, you see that chatzaitis and shofar go hand in hand. In the Mikdash, they blew them both together. So there is some kind of a correlation between the two. So chatzaitis can count as the bracha of shofar. And other Rishonim say, you're right, that if we really, really, truly needed this pasuk, we would have been very hesitant to use chatzaitis. But we don't need it anyway, because b'di'evad, you have one pasuk anyway, you don't need 10 psukim. The whole idea of saying 10 psukim is only lechel chila. B'di'evad, you have much, much less than that. So therefore, it's already the 10th pasuk. It's such a nice pasuk. It's such a uplifting and spiritually inspiring pasuk. Some chaschem, katav leshem. It's a nice thing. So therefore, we throw it in for good luck, even though we're not even sure that it actually counts towards the magic number 10. So that's what that minig is. Either because we think chatzot and shofar are close enough for these purposes, or we're not so concerned that they're not so close, we're willing to count it up as the 10th pasuk anyway. So when all the dust settles, this pasuk has made its way into our Shemoneh. So again, we try to give a little bit of a recap just in terms of some of the highlights here and there of Hilchos Tefillah and Rosh Hashanah, and within each of the Tefillahs, within each of the things that we spoke about, so the world's a world of lumdas. It's not just, a little game here and there, putting this pasuk, that pasuk, that phrase. Each one is well thought out by Chazal and by the Rishonim, by the Poskim, to try to have daven in the most appropriate manner. So it's interesting, out of all the things that we spoke about in Rosh Hashanah, most of the things in the Tefillah are not going to be ma'akev. Let's say if a person said Zichron Truah, Yom Truah, that's all the same thing. If a person said 8 psukim, said 10 psukim, no. A person said if Yom Simchaschav, most of the things are not so critical. Out of all the things in the Shemoneh Esrei, the most critical, the most important part of the Shemoneh Esrei is what? Is a Melech HaKadosh. If you dive in the Shemoneh, you dive for an hour and a half, and then you realize you didn't say Melech HaKadosh, you got to start all over again. If you miss Zachreinu, if you miss Kasvenu V'Sefer Chaim, no. Rosh Hashanah will survive without the Ksiv V'Sefer Chaim. Everything else you can be meichan, mevater zayin. But on Malchus Shemayim, you can't be mevater on. So I think that's just an important message in terms of Hashkaf Chaim as well. And there are so many things that we focus on, rightfully said, Rosh Hashanah, it's Yom Tefillah, we have so many din. We ask for Ksiv HaKsimatayim, so many, those are good things. We daven for ourselves, for our family, for our communities, for Klai Yisrael, for our friends, for we daven for everybody. So many tzurachim on Rosh Hashanah, it's a time, bakashas tzurachim from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. But sometimes we forget what the main tefillah is all about. The main focus of Rosh Hashanah is Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. The primary tefillah of Rosh Hashanah is that we want the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's Malach HaShemayim to be clear in the world. When you have Ashuras HaShechinah, when you have Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim, so everything else fits into place. So sometimes we focus on all the details, we forget the klal. If we latch onto the klal and we focus on, we really, really want the kabbal of Malchus Shemayim Aleihem, of a chente pachtecha. We want Rosh Hashanah to be the simlach hakol b'yichud. If those tefillos take up, that should take as much, if not more, of our energy than the personal tzrachim that we have. Our personal tzrachim will become nichlol in Malchus Shemayim if kabbalas of Malchus Shemayim takes place. If there's this galus hashchina, Melech Hamashiach come and reveal to the world the Malchus Shemayim. So then all of our personal things will mainly be fulfilled. Because the world, yes, and level will be a world of bracha, and all the four shlemas will come, all the parnas will come, and all the tzaras will come to an end, all the mechamas will be over. So instead of focusing so much on the little things, you have to focus a little bit on them, but keep your eye on the ball, keep in the main focus of davening for Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. So hopefully the Baruch Hashem will give us the Siyad Dishmaya to be able to focus properly. It's a lot of focus has to be done on Shana, a lot of focus properly on Atfilas and on Tfilas Hayom, and to be able to be inspired, to be able to daven for the right things in a proper form. Okay. Wish everybody a Kiddush Shabbat Tov. So what's that schedule next week? Sunday is regular, right? So good night, but it's a regular shift. Okay, try to get back to sleep a little bit next week.